Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. For the last several weeks, I have shared with you how many times I feel like my life looks a little bit more like Jonah than maybe some other heroes of the faith that I would prefer for my life to look like. And I've shared some stories with you to go along with that. I'm going to share another story with you this morning. This one is a little bit more recent. So back in July, there was a young adult who's not a member of our church, but he's connected to members of our church. He had an accident which caused him to need to have surgery and a stay in the hospital. And so we had prayed for him in our growth group on Sunday morning, and then later that afternoon, after all of the church activities had died down, I was sitting at home on my in my spot on my couch. Now, if you remember, when I've shared how when I sit in my spot on my couch, that's when I settle into my comfort and I don't want to do anything else. And so I was sitting in my spot on my couch, and I felt like the Lord spoke into my spirit and said, "You need to go visit him in the hospital today." And the hospital that he was in was Brooks Army Medical Center in San Antonio. Now, if you've ever been to Brooks Army Medical Center, you know that it's a little bit more challenging to get into. You don't just get to go park. You have to first stop at a visitor center, and you've got to take your driver's license, your registration, your car insurance with you. You go in, you go to a kiosk, you check in, and then you have to wait for them to call you, and then they'll call you, and you provide all of those documents to them so that they can give you a pass to get onto the base. And then once you've done that, you can get back in your car and you can go in and park and go into the hospital. So there's just a few more hoops that you have to jump through to get onto that hospital campus versus some other hospitals. So I was sitting on my couch in my spot on a Sunday afternoon. I was beginning to doze off when I felt like the Lord spoke into my spirit and said, "You need to go visit him in the hospital." And I'll be honest, my initial reaction was to resist. My initial reaction, now listen, I realize that I'm a pastor, but I'm also a person, right? And so I struggle sometimes with what the Lord calls me to do, just like everybody else, just like Jonah. And so initially, there was this resistance. I thought, well, Lord, can't I go tomorrow to go visit him? Wouldn't that be better? I'm about to take my nap right now, Lord. Let me wait until tomorrow, but I felt like the Lord said, "You need to go visit him in the hospital today." And so, long story short, while I initially resisted, I got up and I drove to San Antonio to go to Brooks Army Medical Center. And again, this was not a member of our church, but someone connected to members of our church. And so I really did not know him personally that well. And so initially, we were just making some small talk with others in the room. But then we had a moment alone, and as soon as we had this moment alone, he looked at me and said, "I'm an agnostic and have been for quite some time, but when I was in the ambulance, I felt God's presence with me, and I don't know what to do with that." And I said, "Well, you know, one of the names that we see for Jesus in Scripture is Emmanuel, which means God with us. So I don't believe it was just any God that was with you in the ambulance. I believe that Jesus was with you in that ambulance, and his desire is for you to know him and to turn to him, turn from your sins and to know him as Lord." And he said, "I believe that too." And I said, "Well, would you like to surrender your life to the Lord right now?" And he said, "I would." And so right there in his hospital bed at Brooks Army Medical Center, he prayed and surrendered his life to Christ that afternoon. Now, if that's where the story ended, that is enough for us to rejoice in. But that's not where the story ends. He had a roommate on the other side of the curtain, and while I had not yet met the roommate, I could hear the roommate on the other side of that curtain. He was clearly in pain. He was moaning. So I got up, I walked around that curtain, and I introduced myself. I told him that I was a pastor, and he said, my life is not right with the Lord right now. And so through conversation, I discovered that while he grew up in a Christian home and even had professed faith in Christ at an early age, in fact, he said he was baptized in a Baptist church. Not that you have to be baptized in a Baptist church, right? But that's just part of his story. He said, I was baptized in a Baptist church, but I've been running from God for years. And I said, well, are you ready to stop running? And he said, I am. I said, do you want to recommit your life to Christ right now? And he said, I do. And so right there in that hospital room, in his hospital bed, he recommitted his life to following Christ. And so that Sunday afternoon at Brooks Army Medical Center in that hospital room, there was a revival as I simply got up and went where the Lord told me to go. So this morning we are continuing our series titled Get Up, Go. And remember, as we're going through this series, we are walking through the book of Jonah. Now, as I think about what God calling me to get up off the couch and to go to Brooks Army Medical Center, and as I think about what God did in that hospital room that morning, I'm reminded that God's call is not about us. Hear that again. God's call is not about us. It's not about my desires. It's not about my comfort. It's not about my Sunday afternoon. God's call is not about us. God's call is about His kingdom, His glory, and His perfect will. Unfortunately, our human tendencies is to make God's call about ourselves so often. We see this not just with Jonah, but with Moses. Think back to when God called Moses to go to Israel, to go to Egypt, to speak to Pharaoh, to set the Israelites free. What did Moses say? Well, I'm not a very good speaker. He made God's call about himself. We tend to make God's call about ourselves when it was never about us to begin with. God's call is not about us. So let me just give you this reminder of this overarching truth, this overarching message that we see in the book of Jonah. When it comes to the Lord's call, obedience is always better than resistance. And if you're struggling to walk in obedience to the Lord's call today, if you're resisting obedience to the Lord's call in some area of your life, then let me remind you again, God's call is not about you. It's about His kingdom, His glory, and His perfect will. And if you will just surrender and obey, if you will do what the Lord is calling you to do, you will get to see God do some pretty awesome things. So when it comes to the Lord's call, obedience is always better than resistance. And while we have seen Jonah so far resist the Lord's call through much of the book of Jonah, this morning, as we look at our passage, we're going to get to see that Jonah finally obeys. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Jonah chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10 this morning. Jonah 3, 1 through 10. Now, as you're turning there, let me remind you of what we saw last week. Last week, remember, Jonah, he's been on the run from the Lord, and as he's running from the Lord, he boards a ship to Tarshish, and as he's on this ship, God sends a storm, the seas begin to rage, the sailors begin to panic, and so Jonah says, throw me overboard into the sea. And as Jonah is sinking to the depths of the sea, God sends a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and this great fish was really, it was saving him from death. And so from the depths of this fish, in the belly of this fish, we saw in chapter 2, Jonah cry out to God in repentance. We see him begin to pray. Now here's the reality of Jonah's prayer. What we see is that Jonah is praying Scripture. He's praying Scripture from the book of Psalms. He's praying Scripture from the book of Job, from the book of Lamentations, and many other passages. In fact, in my copy of God's Word, Jonah's prayer is just riddled with notations pointing back to all of the other Scriptures that Jonah is praying. And so as we think about this, Jonah very likely did not have a copy of God's Word with him, right? He probably didn't have God's Word written down on paper with him in the depths of the sea and in the belly of the fish, which means that while God's Word may not have been written down on paper for Jonah, God's Word was written on Jonah's heart. These were Scriptures that Jonah had studied and he had allowed for these verses to get deep down inside of him to the point that here in his moment of despair, he is able to call out to God. He's able to recall these verses and pray these verses. So why does this matter? Why is this significant? This is what I want you to see. The word of the Lord came to someone who knew the word of the Lord. Let me say that again. The word of the Lord came to someone who knew the word of the Lord. I think this is so important for us to understand because God's word teaches us how God speaks. God's word shows us how he speaks and what he says because God's word is never going God is never going to speak anything that is contrary to his word. God is never going to speak anything that is apart from his word. And so if you want to know God's voice and if you want to hear God's voice, listen, get into his word. Begin studying his word. Don't let God's word just sit on your end table or on your coffee table. Pick it up, read God's word so that you can begin hearing God's voice. The word of the Lord came to someone who knew the word of the Lord. So Jonah knew the word of the Lord, and we see God speak to Jonah at the beginning of chapter 1, but what we're going to see today is that God speaks to Jonah once again. So let's read Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach the message that I tell you. Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. Now Nineveh was an extremely great city, a three-day walk. Jonah set out on the first day of his walk in the city and proclaimed, 'In 40 days, Nineveh will be demolished.' Then the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne, took off his royal robe, put on sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he issued a decree in Nineveh. By order of the king and his nobles, no person or animal, herd or flock, is to taste anything at all. They must not eat or drink water. Furthermore, both people and animals must be covered with sackcloth, and everyone must call out earnestly to God. Each must turn from his evil ways and from his wrongdoing. Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish. God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil ways, so God relented from the disaster he had threatened them with, and he did not do it." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting what we saw there in verse 1. In verse 1, we read, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." So I want you to hear me this morning. God gives second chances. God gives second chances. So when I was a freshman in high school, I completely failed my first world geography test. Completely bombed it. Giant F, red F on my paper. And the problem wasn't the teacher. The problem wasn't the test. The problem was me. I had completely and intentionally not studied. I knew we had a test the next day. I knew that the test was going to involve me labeling the map with cities, capitals, important places. And so the night before, I pulled out the map. I kind of glanced at the map for a couple of minutes, and I thought to myself, how hard can this actually be? Turns out pretty hard. And so I went and I took the test, I received that map, I saw this blank map, and I had nothing in my memory bank to recall, and so I couldn't write anything down, and so I failed, completely bombed it. But thankfully, my teacher was a teacher of grace and mercy. This wasn't her first rodeo with freshmen, right? And so in her grace and mercy, she allowed for anyone that failed that first test to retake it. And so the second time, I went home and I studied, I memorized, I made up songs to sing in my head to help me remember the orders of these cities on the map. And I went in the next day and I aced it. Sometimes we need a second chance. Amen? God gives second chances. Now, I don't know about you, but
But for me, I'm so thankful for this reminder. I'm so thankful to know that God gives second chances. I'm so thankful to know that God doesn't look at my failures. God doesn't look at those times that I rebelled. God doesn't look at those times that I resisted His call and say, I'm finished with you. I'm so thankful that God is willing to say to me, you've messed up, you've done wrong, but you've turned back to me, and I'm willing to give you another chance. God gives second chances. And maybe you're here today and you need to be reminded of that truth, because maybe as you look at your own life, you would say, man, I know that I have messed up. I know that I have rebelled from God. I know that I have run from what God is calling me to do. Maybe you would look at your life and you would say, I'm far from where God has called me to be. So hear me again. God gives second chances. And because God gives second chances, this is what it means. Your disobedience doesn't have to be the end of your story. Your running, your rejection, and your rebellion doesn't have to be the end of your story. So let's learn from Jonah. Jonah repented, and God gave him another chance. Jonah's disobedience wasn't the end of his story, and your disobedience doesn't have to be the end of your story either. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, and again we see God called Jonah to get up and to go to Nineveh. And what we see is that this time, as Jonah gets up, Jonah doesn't get up to flee. This time Jonah gets up to obey. And so now as we walk through this passage, there are three things that I want you to see this morning. The first thing I want you to see is that Jonah presented. Let's read verse 4 again. It says, Jonah set out on the first day of his walk in the city and proclaimed, in 40 days Nineveh will be demolished. Jonah presented. Now, I could have said that Jonah proclaimed, because that's the English word that the CSB uses that I'm preaching from. But this morning I'm being a good Baptist preacher, so all of our points are going to rhyme. All right, so Jonah presented. So what did Jonah present? Well, verse 2 tells us Jonah was preaching the message that God told him. In other words, Jonah wasn't giving his own thoughts. Jonah wasn't preaching the philosophy of this world. Jonah wasn't preaching a message that would tickle the people's ears and make them feel good about himself. Jonah was preaching God's message. Understand, man's message doesn't save us. God's message does. Man's message doesn't save, God's message does, which means I could get up here every week and tell you great stories. I could make you laugh. I could tug at your emotions. I could keep you enthralled and entertained, but apart from God's word, all of that is useless, meaningless garbage. Because at the end of the day, you don't need to hear more stories from me. At the end of the day, you don't need me to tug at your emotions. At the end of the day, you don't need to be enthralled and entertained. At the end of the day, you need to hear a message from God. You need God's word to be presented or proclaimed. I know another pastor that has a little note taped to his pulpit that says, preach Jesus or sit down. And while I don't have that taped to my pulpit, I would say that should absolutely be my commitment as your pastor. It should be the commitment of every pastor that we are going to preach Jesus, that we are either going to preach God's word, we're going to preach the gospel, or we're going to sit down, because nothing else has the power to save. Nothing else has the power to transform. Nothing else has the power to set us free. Man's message doesn't save, God's message does. So Jonah didn't preach his own message. Jonah preached the message that God gave him. Now, we're not told the abundance of Jonah's message, but what we are told is that Jonah warned Nineveh of their impending destruction if they continued in their sin. And so just as Jonah warned of their destruction, I want you to hear me this morning. Apart from Christ, what awaits you is destruction. Now, this is not just true for you. This is true for all who are apart from Christ, because Scripture tells us that apart from Christ, what comes to all of us is death. Not just a temporary death, but an eternal death. Not a temporary destruction, but an eternal destruction. So hear me again, apart from Christ, what awaits you is destruction. And so I would urge you, if you are in your sin today, if you have not given your life to the Lord, I would urge you, just like Nineveh needed to, turn from your sins, that you might be set free, that you might know Jesus Christ as Lord. So Jonah presented. The second thing I want you to see is that Nineveh repented. Let's look at verse 5 again. It says, "Then the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least." Nineveh repented. Now, repentance is not really a word that we see in our passage, but what we do see is the attitude and the action of repentance. But that's really what repentance is. Repentance is more than just a word. Repentance is an action and an attitude. You see, repentance is far more than just praying a prayer, asking God to forgive you. Repentance is the attitude, the desire to turn away from your sins, and it is the action of turning to God. In other words, repentance is not something that we do in order to come to God. It is the literal act of turning to God. I've said this before, but if you are heading full speed ahead in the direction of your sin, then you are heading in the opposite direction of God. God is never going to be in the direction of your sin. And so as we turn to God, what happens is we also turn from our sins. So repentance is more than a word. Repentance is an attitude and an action. And so what we see is that as the people of Nineveh hear this warning of destruction proclaimed, they believe God, and a heart of repentance is produced within them to the point that they dress in sackcloth. Now, thankfully, sackcloth is not something that we dress in today. I think it'd be a little bit itchy. But as we think about dressing in sackcloth, as we think about sitting in ashes, something that we see in the Old Testament, dressing in sackcloth and sitting in ashes was an act of humility. And so what they were saying as they dressed in this sackcloth and sat in ashes, what they were saying was, "God, we humble ourselves before you." So let me just pause right here and ask, do you need to humble yourself before God today? Do you need to humble yourself before God today? Maybe you need to turn from your sins. Maybe you need to turn from a heart of pride. Maybe you have a heart of resistance to whatever it is the Lord is calling you to do. So do you need to humble yourself before God today? And if you do, you don't have to put on sackcloth. You simply need to repent. You need to turn away from whatever it is that is preventing you from walking in obedience and turn to God in humility. So Jonah presented, Nineveh repented. The final thing I want you to see this morning is that God relented. Let's look at verse 10 again. It says, "God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil ways. So God relented from the disaster he had threatened them with, and he did not do it." God relented. Now, God had every right to destroy Nineveh as he had promised because of their sins. God had every right to punish them, to destroy them, because God is a God of justice. And had they not obeyed, had they not turned from their sins, God very well would have destroyed them, just like we saw with Sodom and Gomorrah. But while God is a God of justice, he is also a God of mercy and grace. And God desired for Nineveh to be spared so that just as his mercy and grace were seen in the life of Jonah, so that his mercy and grace would be seen in Nineveh. Because when they repented, God relented. This is a truth that we see all throughout Scripture. When we repent, God relents. The condemnation, the punishment, and the destruction that we rightfully deserve because of our sin, God withholds that. And instead, we receive mercy and grace through Jesus Christ. When we repent, God relents. And just as God desired to display his mercy and grace in the life of Jonah, and just as God desired to display his mercy and grace in Nineveh, God desires to display his mercy and grace in you. Now, for the believer, if you've given your life to Christ, God has displayed his mercy and grace in your life. But if you've never trusted in Christ as Lord, he desires to display his mercy and grace in your life through Jesus Christ this morning. Jonah presented, Nineveh repented, and God relented. And if you've never turned to Jesus Christ to know him as Lord, to receive God's mercy and grace upon your life, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. And let me just say this, if you would hear the Lord's call, remember, when it comes to the Lord's call, obedience is always better than resistance. So would you obey the Lord today? Would you not resist what the Lord is calling you to do? In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond. And if you would say today, I have never trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord. I am going full speed ahead in my sin. But today I'm ready to turn from that. I'm ready to turn to Jesus Christ, to know him as Lord, to receive his mercy and grace upon my life. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front. You are welcome to join me, to pray with me. Today you can know God's mercy and grace upon your life. Now maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. But maybe you would say, you know what, there are areas of my life where I am still resisting. There are areas of my life that I have still been in rebellion. So let me remind you again, God is a God of second chances. Don't let your disobedience be the end of your story. Turn back to God today and allow him to do a work in your heart. If you'd like someone to pray with you, I'd be more than happy to do that. But of course, you can deal with God right where you're at as well. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism to publicly confess my faith in Christ as Lord. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to make that commitment with you. Just as we already had that response in the first service, I'd love to have that response this morning from you as well. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've already been baptized by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to connect my life with this church body, to be on mission with this church body. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you that you might become a member of this church body. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, would you respond to whatever it is obediently? Stand with me right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.